Amen. You know, I think about, as I was beginning to prepare this, I was thinking, you know, me and wife were invited one time to come to a women's thing and speak about raising children and things like this. And, we're experts because we've been at it 33 years. I was visiting with some folks this week, been at over 40 years. They said, man, 33 is nothing. We've been 48 years. And they're right. But we were thinking about it. And I remember I was sitting there talking to these ladies, and I said, well, here's the thing about raising kids. I said, is kids are difficult and some are harder. That's all I got to say. It's difficult. Raising children are difficult. Some children are more difficult than other children, period. They're not any of them, none of them are easy. None of them raise themselves. You've got to do it, and it takes work and effort and time. And so I thought about that, and what had brought that to my mind is that this thought that I had this morning of this ideal of what is our mountains. There's always going to be struggles. During this time when we were raising our children, they were at certain ages. That was everything. All of our time and energies were invested in that. Then they got a little older, still all of our time and energy. And so there's always something that's there in front of us, something always there. That's always some kind of a thing going on in our lives. And there's these things when we begin to talk about these mountains, what we're talking about is the struggles in our life. And so the book of Mark, there's a passage of scripture that we all know well, or most of us do probably. In Mark 11, verse 23, we've heard this verse over and over again, but I want to read it, and we're going to go through it a little bit this morning and visit. So here's what the Bible says in Mark 11, verse 22. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now Jesus is talking to mainly, not exclusively, he's talking to a group of Jewish people. And these folks, when they hear him say that if we would say unto this mountain, they understand that he's not, that this is actually a term in Jewish culture that whenever we deal with tough situations or tough circumstances, they understood that we weren't talking necessarily about physical mountains, even though it could extend that far. But the Jewish people understood that he was talking about tough situations, tough circumstances, tough things that's come into our life, hard circumstances and situations, that they're talking about that. Well, here's the thing, guys. When we understand that life in general, life is a difficult thing, and it's a period, it's just seasons of struggle here, and then we'll get through, and then I'm not saying that life is a drudge. What I'm saying is that life isn't easy. And what happens sometimes is the way that we understand that all of us face these mountains. All of us face these mountains, but the difference is how we deal with our mountains, because all of us face them. I made a statement that I told you I've told my children over and over, and they repeat it back to me now, as I said that life naturally gives us manure. You know what that is. And I said, the difference is the ones that shovel it and the ones that wallow in it. There's two different groups of people. Some are willing to wallow in it. Some are willing to shovel it or move it out of their way. And so this is the thing. We all have mountains and struggles and things that come up and things that we weren't expecting, possibly sicknesses and job changes and all these things that come up. We weren't expecting them. We couldn't get ready for them. We didn't prepare for them. But the reality is they're here, and that's it. They're just part of our lives now. Now we've got to figure out what we're going to do with the mountains that we're facing. And so Jesus says here, this verse lays out to us what you do when you face trouble, times, or struggles in our lives, and we have them. And they come in all different shapes and sizes. They come in all different difficulty levels. There's been some things in my life that were easy. Some things that come up, we were able to deal with it. We moved on. Some things, though, we've dealt for years, possibly still dealing with. And so life deals us all of these things. And I was visiting with you a few weeks ago about how to overcome some of these things and models and things that we would use in order to overcome them. And this thing came along. So here's what I want to talk to you about first of all. Jesus said this when he was talking to him in Mark 11. Now, I alluded to this some a few weeks ago, but I want to spend another minute here today. In Mark 11, verse 22, the Bible says, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Too many times we have faith in faith. Now let me explain that. When we say that we have faith in faith, we get under the impression that if I can stir up my faith, or if I can get enough faith, or if I can get enough faith things around me, that God will be forced to move. When in reality, Jesus says, have faith in God. Not have faith in our ability to have faith or in our ability to conjure that faith. He said, first of all, he said, have faith in God. It's very important that you and I understand that had it not been for God, we would have absolutely nothing. There would be nothing. We would have nothing that we possess, but we wouldn't have air to breathe. We wouldn't be here if it had not been for God. So Jesus says, first of all, you've got to boil this down to its common denominator. When we begin to have struggles in our life, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to learn to have faith in God. Not faith in a set of precepts that my pastor laid out and I've laid out a lot. Not just faith in a concept that the Bible teaches, and there are hundreds. We've got to learn to, first of all, have faith in God. And these concepts and precepts, they can come later, but they can't come outside of that. They can't come outside of the understanding of who God is. Hebrews says it this way in the 11 and verse 6. It says that but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, it says, and it tells us the way that the Jewish people would pray their prayers, that it says, the Lord our God, he's one, our number one, our numero uno. He's at the top of the list. So they understand. He said, when we started every prayer, they stand today, there are Jewish people standing today in front of the east wall, standing there saying, the Lord our God, he's one. And when you see those people standing there at the wall a lot of times, and you'll see them standing there doing that, what they're saying is, the Lord our God, he's one. The Lord our God, he's one. And what they're doing is they're quoting Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep themselves to get the focus right that God is number one, that there's nothing that evolves or happens outside of the sphere of God. And when we begin to see struggles and tough times come into our lives, what we need, first of all, is I need to be centered back to the point that God is where this whole thing came from, and God is where this thing will come back to, and at the end of the day, God is where I'm going to. So we begin, Jesus said, if you're going to get through the tough time, if you're going to begin to speak to mountains in your life, or struggles, or hard times, or difficulties in your life, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to, first of all, you're going to have to center yourself back on God and say, I have faith in God. I don't have faith in my church. I don't have faith in the Bible verses I've memorized. I don't have faith in any of these things, except I have faith in God. You see, you and I, when we were born again, we did it this exact same way, but now we've moved away in some cases, and we start having faith in other things. When I became a believer, I had faith in nothing because I had nothing to have faith in. And when I came to God, I just accepted God. I mean, remember that. It may have been a morning, an evening, or whatever. You just accepted God. You may have heard a message. You may have heard a song. You may have read a text, and it said this sparked something in your life. But what happened when you came a believer, when you said, I'm a believer, what you did is you said, I believe God, or I have faith in God. Jesus says, when struggles come, hard times, difficult days, we're going to have to go back to that point where he said, you have faith in God. Listen, guys, I can't keep the hard times from coming. I can't do that. I don't have that ability. But when they do come, first thing is you've got to say, listen, God got me in this thing. God will get me out of this thing. God brought me this far. He's not going to abandon me. David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. What he was saying is, he said, you know what? I've been at this a long time. And he said, as a result of me being at this a long time, I've never seen God forsake those people that had faith in him. He said, I've never seen God forsake people that loved him or trusted him. Please get this. Whenever you face those tough times, the first thing you've got to do is understand God's not going to give up on me. God's not going to quit me. He's not going to let down. He's not going to quit. You see, our faith must begin in knowing God. It's got to begin in the place that we know where the source of our life is. I had an opportunity here about a week ago to sit down with a young man that was having a little bit of a struggle in his life. And he came and sat down. It was just me and him, and we began to talk, and I found myself just walking him through the Bible and about how God works in our lives. And at the end of it, he stopped me. He said, "You know what? I've never heard anyone say what you said." And I said, "What did I say?" And maybe you know, sometimes I can't remember either. And he said, I said, "What did I say?" He said, "You said it was a privilege to live for God." He said, "I've never heard anybody in all my life say that." Well, I thought everybody felt that way. I know you do, that we all felt that way. It's a privilege to live for God. It's not a privilege for God to have me. Like you might feel about your husband or wife. It's a privilege for me to have God. It's a privilege for me to be a child of God. It's a privilege for me to have the opportunity to live for God, because I've been at this too long. I've already seen too much. It's like, you can't convince me that God doesn't have my best interest in mind, because I've been at this too long. I've seen him do too much. I've seen him bring me too far. I've seen him do so many things in my life, not to mention what I've seen him do in other people's lives. I've seen God do it in my life. So as a result of that, what I've done is now I understand where the source of my life comes from. The children of Israel, when they would pray in Numbers 27, verse 16, it says, "Lord God, the source of all life." I can remember when I graduated high school, and you've heard me say this, I'm going to say it real fast and we're going to move on. When I graduated high school, I couldn't hardly read. So when I decided that I would become a minister, the educational requirements that they placed on me was difficult. It's like they wanted me to get 136 hours of Bible school education. It's like I had two choices. I could either go there or they'd send it to me. Well, I had no choice but to have them send it to me, but I couldn't read. And so I had to begin to deal with that problem. And I began to say, "God, look, listen, if you've called me to do this, you can help me through this." And we did. And we learned to read while reading the Bible, and it helped us to get on down the road and to learn this thing. But here's the reality of it, God. I had to come to the conclusion that, God, you're the source of this whole thing. You're the one that brought me here, called me here, whatever the case. And God, I believe that from you is the source of what I need. You see, faith in God means that I am fully convinced. Look at your neighbor and say, "Fully convinced of the truthfulness of God." How many of you can say yes? I'm fully convinced of the truthfulness of God, that he cannot nor would he lie to me. I'm fully convinced of that. Not only am I fully convinced of God's truthfulness, I am also fully convinced of God's reliableness. Has he been reliable in your life? He has been in my life. He's been reliable. I could count on him. When times were tough, I wasn't looking around wondering where God was. I could see him right there. I knew he was at work. He was reliable. He was always there. Even before I knew that I needed him, he showed up. Having faith in God says that I know I can trust him, that I know he's reliable, that I know he's truthful, and I know he always has my best interest in mind. That's having faith in God. Jesus said, if we're going to deal with these mountains that come up in our lives, you're going to have to, first of all, have faith in God. And that means that you trust that God. If I can believe God, listen, this is how it gets so simple. If I can believe that God, by me simply praying a prayer, making a confession, can take me to heaven for eternity, I believe he can get me through every tough patch that I find here on this earth. That's how simple it is. Because the faith that it takes to accomplish that is amazing. And when you see it in that light, the faith that it takes to get through my struggles is a small thing. Then he said this. He said, the first thing he said, you've got to have faith in God. So when we begin to deal with these struggles and these things in our lives, then he said, you're going to have to do this after you learn to have faith in God, not faith in a program or principle or a person or a church or whatever the case. You simply have faith in God. Then he said, the second thing is, he says, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, this gets a little bit strange for some of us because we're just not comfortable with this. I used to have a friend, or still have a friend, but he had these funny ways. Everything that he did, he would talk to it. He'd put a pot on the boil. He said, "Pot, get hot." And he was just a strange guy like this. He just always was talking to stuff. He was an auctioneer, and he said, when I was learning to be an auctioneer, he said, the way that you do that is you auction off every fence post, street sign. You auction off everything. You just practice, and you just constantly. So he learned to talk to himself. This guy would talk to everything. It was interesting. And so here's the thing. Jesus said that whosoever was saying to this mountain, whoever was saying to it. Some of these things, or possibly all of these things, we're going to have to learn how to talk to. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew 21. You say, well, I don't know about this. Is this really verse 19? This is Jesus. He saw a fig tree by the side of the road and went to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. So he said to the... He didn't look and tell his friends. He didn't look and tell the disciples. He spoke to the tree. The tree was the problem. The tree was the thing that needed to be addressed, not his disciples, not the people around him. The thing that needed to be addressed was the tree. So the Bible says that Jesus himself spoke to the tree. There are things in our life, your life and my life, that we're going to have to begin to start saying to it what it is that we want to see happen in our life. If you're tired of dealing with these different things in your life, you're going to have to begin to say them the way that you want to see them. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Sometimes we have to train our hearts. We have to train our hearts by letting it listen to our mouths. Because when we talk about faith and we go talking about have faith in God, what we're doing is we're saying faith is word activated. So now I've got to begin to talk to the things in my life that I want to see change. I didn't say that you're going to walk around and it wouldn't hurt you to. You would walk around, you're just mumbling all the time, I'm tired of being broke, I'm tired of being this, I'm tired of being that. It wouldn't hurt you to. Me and my wife, years ago, we developed a habit in our lives that we're out of debt, our needs are met, we've got plenty more to put in store. And we would say this over and over. I'm out of debt, my needs are met, I've got plenty more to put in store. Now think about that. As I begin to say that, I'm out of debt, my needs are met, I've got plenty more to put in store. As I begin to say that, now I'm beginning to train my heart that that's how I could expect things to happen in my life. That's how I can expect things to go on in my life. So when a problem as far as debt was concerned in our lives or some kind of a financial struggle would come up, we already knew what to say. I'm out of debt. My needs are met. I've got plenty more to put in store. So we need to figure out what those things are in our life. You've got to figure out what it is that you'd like to see different in your life. And you've got to begin to do something, say something accordingly. Jesus said, say to this mountain, be moved. He didn't say just walk around saying nondescript things. He said, say to the mountain, be moved. He wanted us to be very specific. He wanted us to talk to it clearly and say it. So when he walked to the fig tree to get a fig and there was no figs on the tree, he said, from this day forward, no one will ever get a fig off of you again. And the Bible says that plant dried up at that moment. Why? Because he said it. Now, there's a whole sermon series based on why he was frustrated with that tree. And you say, well, he was mean to that tree. The problem with the fig tree was it puts on figs first, then leaves. This fig tree was pretending. They say amen. This fig tree was putting on a show and had no fruit. How many of you ever met people like that? They're just putting on a show. They put out a good bunch of leaves, make you try to think that they got a bunch of figs on there. The fruit comes before the leaves, guy. And he went down there and figured out that the leaves were there and there was no fruit. He wasn't having it. So here's what happened. He spoke to that tree. There are situations in your life. Let these situations be addictions. Let these situations be sickness. Let these situations be depression. Let it be anxiety, whatever. You got to begin to talk to that thing. You've got to begin to tell yourself that I am not going to allow that to be a part of my life. Maybe it has been up to this point. I'm not going to allow this to be a part of my life anymore. There's been times I've had to talk to God and I've just had to say, God, you know, I've got this deal going on. I don't want this deal anymore. And I'd have to begin to say it while I'm, how many of you know God's not going to be messed up if you don't say the words just right? When you're praying, you're going down the road and this thing comes up and you're beginning to talk about it and you say, God, there's been things that I've said to God that I would never say in public. I would never let you hear the things that I've said to God, and you have them too, hopefully. Then I said, God, here's what's going on. I don't like what's happening here. And I would just say this thing out to God and I said, God, this is what I want to see change. This thing's not right in my life. He said, if you're going to get through hard times and struggles in your life, listen, this is a principle. If we're going to get through hard times and struggles in our life, you're going to have to begin to start speaking to the struggle. You're going to have to begin talking to the struggle and saying, here is what's going on, and here is what I'd like to see. And so you got to talk to this thing and you got to tell it. Numbers 20 verse 7 says it this way. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak you to the rock. He said, talk to it. The problem was they were thirsty. The problem was they had a situation, and these people were needing something to drink. And he said, what you need to do, you gather these people around. He said, I want you to get them around, and I want you to have them all looking at this rock. And then he said, I want you to talk to it. Say something to it. He said, they're not going to assume that you're insane, although they may. If we read the rest of the story, Moses wasn't willing to do it. He took the staff and he hit it twice. God's gracious. He allowed water to come out because the people had a situation. But what happened? He said, you and Aaron, you're not going to get to go in because I said, talk to it and not hit it. Now, I'm going to make a point right here. Sometimes we're fighting with our problems instead of talking to them. Sometimes we're trying to be physical with them. We're trying to get physical. And if I can just get, I'm telling you, if I can just get praying more, if I can just read my Bible, my pastor said 5 verses for 5 minutes, I'm going to give 5 verses for 5. And we try to get physical with all you need to do is just talk to the thing. Here's the reason why that it's important that you talk to it. Because if you put effort into it and it gets better, you'll begin to take credit for it. And they say amen. Happens to all of us. I'll begin to take credit for it. I tell you how I got better. I just started reading my Bible more. That reading your Bible didn't do anything for you. The time that you spent with God in His Word changed your life. The Bible's just a book. The Bible says this, that Satan knows the book word for word. How many of you know he ain't getting no better? It ain't helped him a bit, has it? So here's the thing, that just having the Bible doesn't fix it. Just reading the Bible doesn't fix it. I know people that pray all the time and are crazy as loons. That doesn't fix it either. It's the time that we spend with God. So it starts, number one, Jesus said, having faith in God, knowing exactly what I'm in this for. And then secondly, you got to stop fighting your problems and start talking to them. You may not want to do this out in public, at least for a while. But I talked to you about this deal that I say, I'm out of debt, my needs are met, I got plenty more to put in store. In the beginning, we didn't say that much in public. I don't mind to, because I've seen the results of what I said, because I begin to form my future. Let me finish here. Here's the next thing. After he said you've got to learn how to have faith in God, and how that you've got to learn then, after you learn how to have faith in God, you've got to begin to be willing to speak to Him. He said, then the next thing he said is, you shall not doubt in your heart. Go over to Matthew. He's going to show us in Matthew 14. You say, now that's difficult, Pastor. I don't know what to do with the doubt that's in my heart. That I doubt. And you say, well, I thought all of us had doubts. Here's the thing with doubt. Let me read this text. I'm going to read you a text here from 22 to 31. This is an interesting story. You've heard it before. Matthew 14, verse 22 says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves from the wind, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Peter said it this way. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus simply said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship and walked on the water to go to Jesus, and Peter came down out of the ship to walk to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? This is a cool story. We've all read it or heard it in Sunday school about how that Jesus came walking on the water. And how that he came and what Peter did and how that Peter said, Lord, let me come to you. And Jesus said, come, and he took it upon himself to get out of the boat and begin to walk. Well, in the beginning, Peter was he really had this thing worked out. He said, God, let me come to you. And Jesus said, well, come. So he gets out of the boat. And he begins the fight and the struggle and all the things that go with it. But then the Bible says that he began to notice that the wind was blowing very hard and that the waves were fairly high. And you say, well, Pastor, what does that got to do with my doubt? The problem with doubt, or the symptoms of doubt, or the reason that doubt comes into our lives is focus. While he was focused on Christ and not the struggle, he was fine. But when he began to focus on the wind was blowing hard and the waves were very big, then Jesus said, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Here's an interesting point in this, that when he cried out to Jesus, he was just an arm's length away. The Bible says Jesus just reached out immediately and touched him. He had lost his focus so bad, he couldn't see Jesus right in front of his face. Have we ever been there? Have we ever been in that situation where the struggle has got so difficult, the wind is blowing so hard, and the waves are so high that I've totally lost focus of Christ at all? I can't even see him anymore. And Peter said, oh my God, he said, I'm going to drown. And the Bible says immediately Jesus just got him. He was right there. But Peter had begun to doubt because he had lost focus. Here's the thing, guys. If you're going to overcome the doubt in our lives, that's why Jesus said have faith in God. You've got to keep your focus. And one of the reasons you've got to learn to say it is because when you say something, you can't think the opposite while you're saying it. Your mind just doesn't work that way. You don't believe it? Say your ABCs and your numbers at the same time. Your mind just doesn't work that way. So here's the thing. We may say that we can multitask, but as far as this is concerned, you can't accomplish it. Your mind doesn't work that way. That you can at this point, what you can do is you can stay focused on Christ, stay focused on God. He said, have faith in God, which means I've got to learn to focus on that and nothing else. And when times get hard, you've got to focus better. And the way that you focus better in the very, very, very difficult times, and you're going to have them, or you're having one now. The way you're going to learn to focus during the times that are overwhelming, and you're going to have them, is you're going to have to learn how to focus in the small times. You've got to learn to maintain focus when the waves are just small and the wind just barely blowing. You can't expect to step out on the water and the wind is blowing and the waves are over your head and you're going to be able to focus on Christ. The only way you're ever going to be able to focus on God, like we're talking about in this text, is you're going to have to do it when times are small. I mean, when the struggles are small. When it's just a little thing and I can get, men, God, we'll work it out and we'll get through it and we'll come out on the other side and everything will be fine. That's when you learn how to focus on God. And then what happens when all hell assails me, I shall not be moved. That doesn't happen because you know the words to a song or you can quote three verses. That does not happen. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. That does not happen overnight. Jesus looked Peter in the face and said, Peter, Satan would have sifted you like wheat and could have did it. But he said, I stepped in for you. He said, I prayed for you. You've got to understand that God knows. And you've got to learn how to stay focused. Even when the wind's blowing hard and the waves are over your head, you've got to learn how to stay focused. I got here by God and I'll get out of here by God. Even though today looks like a bad day, even though this week has been a bad week or this month has been a bad month, I'm going to be all right because God is with me. And though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. No matter what happens, no matter what goes on, no matter what happens this week, next week, or a month from now, I'm going to be fine. Why? Because I have faith in God. I have faith in God. And God got me here and he'll take me on through. That God got me here and he'll bring me out the other side. God got me here and he'll take me on home. God is all that we're going to need. But you're going to have to learn how to focus yourself. And that's why Jesus said, first of all, you've got to learn to say it. Because if you'll say it, It begins to get into your heart. And as you begin to say, I'm not going to stay depressed. I'm not going to stay broke. I'm not going to, whatever the, you put in that list. You begin to say that thing, then it begins to get into your heart. And then out of your mouth, it gets easier for your heart to speak. And then when it gets difficult, and though all hell does assail you, you can say, I will not be moved because I do not doubt. I've seen God work when things were small, although this is bigger, it's no different. I can handle it because I know whom I serve.